You see, the Christians have developed a sickness. A sickness of changing, translating names of people, which you have no right to do. You have no right to translate people's names. A proper name is a proper name. Be that is be that. You can't, you know, you say, well, be that in Afrikaans. Be that is be that. So they changed the name Yehoshua. Esau in Hebrew, classical Yehoshua, they changed it to Jesus. Jesus is a Latinized form of the Hebrew word Esau. You see, Jesus in his second coming, if he comes and if people recognize him, I say, shout, Jesus, Jesus. I say, he won't even turn to look at you. So he never heard the word Jesus in his life. He never heard the word Jesus. He said, Christ, Christ. I said, look, he'll never turn to look at you because he never heard the word Christ in his life. These are translations. He said, I am the Messiah, translated Christ, coming from the Greek word Christos. He never heard the word. This is later on, this is what people did to his name. So they called him Jesus, he never heard it. Christ, he never heard it. Say, so Jesus Christ, Jesus Christ. He didn't know who you're shouting. Well, who are you calling? He never heard the term, but they translated the name. Jesus tells his disciple Simon. He says, Simon, thou art Kephas. Kephas means you're like a rock. And on this rock I'll build my church. You are like a rock. You know, a sturdy fellow like a fighting Irishman. His name is Simon. So he said, thou art Kephas. In his own mother tongue, you are Kephas. Like a rock, you. So they translated Kephas into Petros, into Greek. And from Petros they got Peter. Peter never heard the word Peter in his life. Imagine. They have Saint Peter in Rome. I say it should be Saint Simon in Rome. Look, it's some rhyme. Then the 13th self-appointed disciple, apostle of Jesus, self-appointed. Jesus Christ meets him on the way on the Damascus road, as Paul says. He said, I heard a voice, Paul says, in the book of Acts, chapter 26, verse 14. He says, I heard a voice speaking unto me, unto Paul, and saying in the Hebrew tongue, in the Hebrew language, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? Why persecutest thou me? It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. Acts chapter 26, verse 14. He said, Saul, Saul. They changed it to Paul, Paul. I said, look, Saint Saul, the Saint Paul in London, the big cathedral. Saint Saul rhymes better. Saint Simon rhymes better. But no, they must Latinize it. It's an inferiority complex that all subject nations have. You want to make your name sound like that of your ruling race. We are not exempt from that sickness. Look, it's a psychological thing. When somebody is ruling you, your bosses, we want to also change our names to sound like our boss's name. We have beautiful name Fatima, we say Tima. We have Yusuf, we say Joe, Joseph, Joe. Don't we do that? Same sickness. The Christians had it, and now we are cultivating it. We say Khadija, I says, what is that? What do you call it? Now this is a sickness. You see, you don't want to be recognized as a Muslim, it's a Tima, Tima. Instead of Fatima, daughter of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, the leader of the women of paradise, beautiful name. No. We would say Tima. You would say Joe. May Allah save us from that sickness. It's a sickness, old sickness, but we must be on guard. The Christians, what they did was, they changed the name Esau to Jesus. They changed the name Christ, Messiah to Christ. Saul to Paul. Kephas to Peter. So they must have done the very same thing with Muhammad, Ahmad. Say, can you see the sickness? Now you did it in 1,000 different languages, 1,000 different, 2,000 different words. How are you going to grapple with this? So in his original language, in Hebrew, the nearest to that, Ahmad is Muhammana, Muhammana. But since we can't lay our hand on the original writings because they haven't got it, they have thousands of manuscripts of the Christian scriptures, but there's not one in Hebrew. The man is a Jew,
He's talking to other Jews. He goes out of his way, the most learned of the Jews, Paul, Saul. He goes out of his way to speak Hebrew to him. But the common fishermen and laborers, he goes and speaks Greek. Does it make sense? Does it make sense? And they preserved it in Greek. And that is also, they call it Koine Greek. Koine Greek means the common Greek of the street. Like when we speak in Natal, Fanakalo Zulu. You know, Fanakalo. Fanakalo means like this, like that, because you can't speak Zulu well, so you say Fanakalo Zulu, that's Fanakalo Greek. In that language, the Bible is preserved in what they call the so-called original. There's not one epistle written in the Hebrew language, not one. We have remnants of his utterances of Jesus. When he is supposed to be on the cross, he cried out with a loud voice, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani. That's Hebrew, which means, my God, why has thou forsaken me? He goes to a place, and the child was dying, so he says, Salisa kumi. That's Hebrew, means damsel, girl, get up. That's Hebrew. And Paul says he spoke to me in Hebrew. But what the words were, he doesn't say. He only records it in Greek. I don't know why. He spoke Hebrew, but he records it in Greek. Now, to arrive at the proper name, we have to analyze this verse and reason. And Afrikaans is the most beautiful for this job. I want you to take a little extra trouble and memorize this verse in Afrikaans. John chapter 6, I'm sorry, 16 verse 7. Very beautiful. Afrikaans is a unique language. Every language is unique. But Afrikaans is more unique for this verse. And you watch why. Sê maar ek vir julle die waarheid. Dit is vir julle voordelig dat ek weggaan. Want dat ek as nie weggaan nie, sal die trooster nie, na julle kom nie. There is no language on earth you use four negatives in one sentence. Beautiful. And to prove a positive. You're using four negatives to prove a positive. That I must go. If I don't go, he won't come. You know, four times it says, nie, 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 to prove, yeah, yeah, yeah. Beautiful. And tomorrow morning you can start. If you have an Afrikaner boss, go and congratulate him. He says, boss, you know, I just discovered that Afrikaans is a unique language. It's young, the youngest of one of the world's youngest languages. But it's a unique language. What makes you to say that? He said, look, boss, one word, four negatives. And I tell you, he's fascinated. It is fascinating. So, can you see the emphasis? That means he must go. If he doesn't go, this one won't come. So we are asking our Christian learned men, who is this trooster? Who is this comforter? So this is the Holy Ghost. They said, all right, if it's the Holy Ghost, we want to know, when did the Holy Ghost come? Because Jesus said, if I don't go, he won't come. But if I go, I will send him. It's conditional. It is conditional. He must go, otherwise the Holy Ghost won't come. If it's the Holy Ghost. But we say that the Holy Ghost was there before Jesus was born. In the Bible. Before Jesus was born, John the Baptist, his cousin, he was about 6 months to a year older than him. Before Jesus was born, John the Baptist, Yahya alayhi salam, was born. And in the Gospel of St. Luke, that's a Christian Bible, chapter 1, verse 15, it says, and he, John the Baptist, and he shall be filled with the Holy Ghost even from his mother's womb. John the Baptist had the Holy Ghost from his mother's womb. Before he was born, it was with him inside, his mother's stomach. What else does it mean? Even from his mother's womb, the Holy Ghost was with him. Is it true or false? Ask, is it true or false? If it says false, then throw the book away. If it's true, that means he had it. From when? Before he was born. Before he was circumcised, he had the Holy Ghost with him. So, it had nothing to do with Jesus going away. He said, if I don't go, he won't come. But if I go, I will send him. But this Holy Ghost was before he was born. He was going around in woman's stomach, you know, with the little infant child. She was carrying him around. The Holy Ghost was inside with John the Baptist, according to the Bible. Number two. That was number one. The Holy Ghost was with John from his mother's womb. Number two. Luke chapter 1, verse 41. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost. His mother was filled with the Holy Ghost. Was she filled? Must be. The Bible says so. So it was not dependent upon Jesus going away. It was there. Number three. The Holy Ghost was helping Jesus all along. In Matthew chapter 12, verse 28, Jesus says, but if I cast out devils by the Spirit of God, that's the Holy Ghost, then the kingdom of God is come unto you. So he was doing all the job with the help of the Holy Ghost. So it was not conditional that he must go before the Holy Ghost can come. It was helping him in his ministry. Number four, it was also helping his disciples. When he sent them out on the mission of preaching and healing, Jesus told them, assured them, he said, for it is not ye that speak. When you go and speak to people, it's not you, but the Holy Ghost in you that's going to speak. So they had the Holy Ghost when they went out on the mission of preaching and healing. It was not conditional that he must go, otherwise he won't come. Number five. Before Jesus departed, he says to his disciples, and Jesus saith unto them, receive ye the Holy Ghost. Receive. You take it. So I'm asking, when he said receive, did they receive or didn't they? I said, look, here, send down note. Take it. I'm playing fools with you, but I mean it. Can you see? If he said receive, did they receive or didn't they? This was long before he departed. But now he's talking about the Comforter. If I don't go, he won't come. But if I go, I will send him. So it is not the Holy Ghost. Common sense. You don't have to be very clever. You don't have to be philosophical. This is black and white evidence from the Bible. I hope you are listening. I'm quoting everything I have quoted. Chapter and verse, chapter and verse, chapter and verse. If you want to refresh your memory at question time, ask me. I will give you the reference again so you can open up. If you can't open fast enough now. Verse 12 of that same chapter, 16, Jesus says, I have yet many things to say unto you, a lot of things, but ye cannot bear them now, means you haven't got that capacity. I have a lot of things. I can give you a solution to all your problems, till doomsday, Yawmul Qiyamah. But I can't tell you because you haven't got the capacity, you haven't got the brain, you haven't got the faith. It's not me. It's you. The trouble is with you. He's telling his disciples. And the truth of that statement, that you haven't got that capacity, you cannot bear them now, is writ large in the Christian scriptures. A. Matthew chapter 8 verse 26. He tells them, ye of little faith. There was no faith. Be man. B. Matthew 14:31. He said, ye of little faith. But no faith, no iman. C. Matthew 16 verse 3. He said, ye of little faith. You got no faith. Again and again he's provoked. He said, you got no faith. You got no faith. You got no faith. What's the good of me talking to you, faithless people? D. He says, because of your unbelief. Matthew 17:20. He said, because of your unbelief, you got no belief, no iman. E. Matthew 15:16. Are ye even yet without understanding? What's wrong with you? Sir, I'm explaining to you like explaining to little children, and still you can't follow. Are you even yet without understanding? And when it's provoked further, E. So, O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I be with you? He's frustrated. O faithless and perverse generation. That's Matthew 17:17. O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I be with you? I said, if Jesus was a Japanese instead of a Jew, he would have committed that honorable harakiri. Harakiri? Suicide. Endless trouble. Naturally, the man said, I got many things to tell you, but you are incapable of receiving it. Nothing wrong with him. He said, how be it? How be it?
when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. He speaks about the Spirit of truth. How be it? When he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak from himself. But what things shall he hear, that shall he speak. And he shall declare unto you the things that are to come. He shall glorify me. I said, now, really, who is the Spirit of truth? Before we answer, we get the answer. He said, look, let me read that again to you with a little emphasis on the pronoun. He says, watch my fingers. How be it? When he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak from himself. But what things shall he hear, that shall he speak, and he shall declare unto you the things that are to come, he shall glorify me. 8 masculine pronouns in one verse. It ill befits a ghost. It doesn't fit a ghost. He's talking about a man, 8 times. There is not another verse in this vast volume of the Bible with its 66 books of the Protestants and 73 of the Roman Catholics, if they want to say, I got that verse. 73, there is not another verse with 8 masculine pronouns or 8 feminine pronouns or 8 neuter gender in one verse. There isn't. It's an absolutely unique verse for a unique personality, Muhammad. 8 times. Man. And this one is a ghost. This must be a ghost. You know, the Christians in India, in Pakistan, when the Muslims started talking about this, they're changing the Arabic translation. They translate the he to she. So you can't say Muhammad is a she, can you? You know, I don't know what they'll do with the Afrikaans Bible very soon. Same thing is going to happen, I'm telling you. If you start talking about hey in Afrikaans, it's hey. What do you say for woman in Africa? Say. They'll process change it to say. Then he said, now you can't say Muhammad is say. Can you say that? No, it's very difficult to keep pace with them. Ingenious. Highly ingenious. However, I said, now let's analyze this. The Christians say it is the Holy Ghost. So they say, is Muhammad a ghost? I said, look, in the Greek language, there is no such word as ghost. The word there in the Greek is pneuma. Pneuma, wherever it suits them, they translate as spirit. Wherever they find they get into difficulty, they translate it as ghost. So, they say the Comforter, which is the Holy Spirit, they say the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost. So now you can't say Muhammad is the ghost. Can you see? So, you are discounted. I says, you know, making fish of one and fowl of the other. Just when it suits you, the way you go around. I says, you know, this Saint John, it's the Gospel of Saint John, chapter 15, verse 7 to 13. The Saint John, in the first epistle of John, chapter 4, verse 1, he says, beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God. For many false prophets have gone out into the world. So the false prophet is a false spirit, a true prophet is a true spirit. He is using the word prophet synonymous with spirit. I'm not doing it. Says, beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God. Because many false prophets have gone out into the world. So the false prophet, false spirit, true prophet, true spirit. And this is the title of our Nabi. An-Nabi as-Sadiqul Wa'd al-Amin. The Sadiqul Wa'd, one who is true to his promise. Al-Amin, the truthful. The true spirit, the true prophet. If you go for Hajj, Allah take you one day. On his tomb, there is a beautiful metal calligraphy. This is La ilaha illallah al-malikul haqqul mubin Muhammadur Rasulullah as-sadiqul wa'dul amin. This is what the unbeliever, the pagans, this is the title they gave him. As-sadiqul wa'd, one who is true to his word. Al-amin, the truthful. As-sadiqul wa'dul amin. And the Saint John continued. He said, the spirit means the prophet that confesses that Jesus is the Christ is of God. Look, he's telling you that the spirit, the prophet who said that Jesus is the Christ, is of God. What does our Nabi say? Look, he's made 1,000 million Muslims today to believe that Jesus is the Christ, he is the Messiah, the Messiah. Have we got another Messiah? Have we got another Messiah? No, there is only one Messiah. Jesus is our Messiah, Jesus Christ.
We haven't got another Christ, have we? No. Quran testifies. Masihu Isa ibn Maryama. Wa Isa qala. Behold, the angel said, Ya Maryam, إن الله يبشرك بكلمة منه. Allah gives you glad tidings, good news, have a word from him. اسمه المسيح. His name will be the Messiah. Who? Isa ibn Maryam, Jesus the son of Mary. He is the Messiah. The spirit that confesses, the prophet says, who says that Jesus is the Christ of God. But the sick people, I don't know what they're reading. Their book gives them a test. Apply this test to Muhammad. Does this man say that Jesus is the Christ? Or does he say Musa is the Christ? Does he say I'm the Christ? Does he say Abu Bakr is the Christ? Does he say Umar is the Christ? What does he say? He says, Masihu Isa ibn Maryama, Masih, Jesus the son of Mary. He is the Masih, he is the Christ. So, telling you, that one who says that is the true prophet of God. The same John again, he says. John chapter 3 verse 6. The Christians keep on quoting 3:16. 3:16 is a famous verse. This is the only begotten son. Now it has been expunged, thrown out of the Bible. Revised Standard Version, they threw it out as a fabrication. It's thrown out. The begotten. The only begotten son, the word begotten is thrown out as a fabrication, as an interpolation. You see? 3:6. That was 3:16 I was talking about. 3:6. So that which is born of flesh is flesh. And that which is born of spirit is spirit. John 3:6. That which is born of flesh is flesh. That which is born of spirit is spirit.
Do spirits cohabit?
Do they? No. What it means is this, that he that is born of flesh is flesh means if you are materially motivated, what brought you here to this meeting? Says Mr. Didar is going to give us a free Quran. Is that what brought you? If that is what brought you, then you came for material reason. You are a materialist. In the language of the Bible, you are flesh. Your motivation is flesh and you are flesh. Means you are material. And you are materialist. That is the language of the Bible. He that is born of spirit is spirit. Means he that is spiritually motivated is a spiritual person. You don't have the spirits, don't beget spirit. He's a spiritual person. Not worldly motivated. That's what they're talking about. And he, that person, will guide you into all truth. I'm saying that, look, I have yet many things to say, many is more than one. He'll guide you into all truth, all is more than one in English. Unless you need a dictionary for that. Many, all, many means more than one. You understand that? And all means also more than one. But this spirit of truth, he will guide you into all truth. Jesus has many things to say, more than one, all truth, more than one. I'm only asking, for 40 years I've been asking, the learned men of Christendom, please give me one new thing that this Holy Ghost gave you in 2,000 years. Any church. You have 1,000 different churches and denominations among the whites of South Africa and 3,000 among the blacks. Different churches and denominations. And everyone has got the Holy Ghost, they claim. But you know, funny thing? They claim gifts of healing and challenging me. Last night, a young fellow was challenging me to go and heal people. I said, you know, funny thing, the very first gift that they had at Pentecost was people were babbling in tongues. They were speaking different languages. And yet, our brother, he can't speak English. Can you imagine? He's got all the Holy Ghost in him, but he can't even speak English. So he said, look, he's asking me. He said, you know Afrikaans? I said, no, I don't know Afrikaans. So he said, I'll read it in Afrikaans for you. Imagine. I said, I don't know Afrikaans, but he must read it, the Bible in Afrikaans for you. I said, where is that gift, that Holy Ghost of yours? You need the Bible under your arm? Without the Bible, it's helpless. Believe me, without the Bible, the learned man, the most learned guy is utterly helpless. He can't do anything without the book. Take the book away from him, he's helpless. He's like a crutch. Without that crutch, he'll fall. He must have the book. He must open the book. I said, where is this Holy Ghost that's supposed to be in you? Why don't he make you to speak? Because Jesus said, that that very moment, the Holy Ghost will make you to speak. Where is he? Why is he deserting you? Desert them. The Holy Ghost is running away. When they see us,
There is gold. They can't speak English even. They're listening to me and understanding in English, and now they must tell me in Afrikaans. So he can deliver a lecture. You see, the guy wants to deliver a lecture in Afrikaans because you people understand Afrikaans. So he's lecturing. And the guy is excused that he is asking a question. Or ultimately he's going to ask a question. So I said, give me one thing, please. Only one. I asked Jehovah's Witness. One new thing. You Seventh Day Adventists. One new thing. You DRC. One new thing. You Baptist. What's your today? Give me one new thing that the Holy Ghost gave you in 2,000 years. You haven't got it. Not one. South Africa, we have problems after problems. The biggest problem, we have the problem of race. Racism. What did the Holy Ghost tell you in 2,000 years how to solve it? We have the problem of alcohol. Last year we spent 2,000 million pounds on alcohol. 20-year-old statistics I'm giving you. There were 200,000 white drunkards in South Africa. 200,000 white drunkards. I don't know what it is today. Problem of alcohol. Problem of gambling. 2,000 million squandered last year on gambling. Yet our nation says we got no money for statistics. For the cripples, we got no money. But squandering 2,000 million on alcohol, 2,000 million on gambling. What did the Holy Ghost tell you? I want to know. Give us. Problem of surplus women. Tell us. Problem of divorce. Tell us. What have you got? Nothing. 2,000 years you haven't got one new thing. And in 40 years I'm asking, give me one new thing that the Holy Ghost gave you in 2,000 years. Wallah, I tell you, absolute failure, not one. No, out of the 1,000 churches among the white, 3,000 among the black, they can't produce one new thing. That's the example. Come to Muhammad. He solves your problem. Not he, it's Allah, the omnipotent, the omniscient. And I give you an example. And I'm going to end. I'll have to end this part. Because, you know, your enthusiasm inspires me to carry on and on. And there seems to be no end. I don't know, the tape might get finished. See, there was a problem in Swaziland. The late King Sobhuza, when he was alive, his oldest wife died. His wife died. The queen, she died. And there was a controversy in Swaziland. That how long is a man to wait before getting remarried? See, his wife died. So this was the problem in Swaziland. How long must a man wait before getting remarried? And very soon that problem changed because he had another 8 wives. So it was not a problem. See, one old lady died, he got another 8 young ones. So there was no problem really. So it changed to how long is a woman to wait if her husband died. See, that is a problem. First problem was, how long is a man to wait? But there's no problem because it got 8 lined up, still there. Now, suppose the man dies, how long is the woman to wait? So, controversy, impossible. The Assemblies of God, and the Jehovah's Witnesses, and the Seventh Day Adventists, and the Roman Catholics, and the Lutherans, you name them, they all have them this way. What we have in South Africa, they have the same proportion they have them. So that everybody is arguing, debating. So the king says, no, I want you to call up a synod. Synod, religious gathering. Get all these guys together and I want you people to thrash it out. Discuss it in public and come to a conclusion. How long is a woman to wait before she can remarry after the death of her husband? And I was also called from there. There was a Muslim, Musa Borman, he was a Swazi who had embraced Islam. She said, look man, we get our man also to be represented in the synod. So the king said, okay. So they called me over, so I went down. And in the king's crawl, we sat in the grass from 7 o'clock in the morning. No breakfast, no lunch. And the synod started. Synod. So one church member comes along and he makes the point. You know, how long is a woman to wait? He says, maybe 3 months. So everybody says, hooray. He makes a point. He makes his case. Everybody says, hooray. Yeah, yeah. So another guy comes along, he's a Palish. Palish means porridge, means rubbish. What he said is rubbish. Now he makes his point. 6 months. Everybody says, hooray, hooray. Another guy comes along, he says, Palish. He's all rubbish what he said, this fellow, previous fellow. And now he makes a point, he says, 5 months. Everybody says, hooray. Every African is a potential Billy Graham. You know, Billy Graham, you talk about here, every African is a Billy Graham. Orator, oration. Masters of oration, the African.
naturally gifted.